I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver, British Columbia at thecommentary.ca. Jennifer Copping joins me now. She's directing the new Mitch and Murray production of Harm by the British playwright Phoebe Eclair Powell. I'll ask Ms. Copping about the play, which is having its North American premiere, a timely play that is described by its publisher as a thrilling, twisted, and razor-sharp comedy on the corrosive effects of social media and isolation. The production features a solo performance by Kelly Ogmanson, who plays an estate agent who develops an unhealthy obsession with a social media influencer. I'll ask Jennifer about working with her and what audiences to Studio 16 at 1577 West 7th Avenue can expect when they see the show between the 20th to the 29th of March. Visit MitchandMurrayProductions.com for tickets and information. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Jennifer Copping. Ms. Copping, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. I wasn't familiar with the play or the playwright, but from what I've read, just sort of a brief synopsis of it, it's an important play, isn't it? Because it's quite relevant to the lives we're all leading today and how we feel about one another, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a really good, initial hit on it just from reading, I guess, the synopsis you were saying. But yeah, it's working on the play. It has really kind of gotten under my skin and made me aware of my own tendencies nowadays, you know, with the scrolling and being on two devices at once and having, you know, my younger child need something from me, and I'm busy with two different things at once. It's like, wait a minute, something's off here. So we've really adapted this kind of norm that is not normal and is not healthy or helpful to connection. And the play is really about a lack of connection when somebody is so lonely and alienated and not connected to their family and doesn't have a partner in life and isn't passionate about their work or their job, you know, what can happen to them when they get sucked into this online world and this fantasy of being someone who people look up to, even if it's for not great reasons.
Yeah, and that idea of a lack of connection, I mean, we can relate to that living in Vancouver as we do. At the same time, we desperately need connection, or we can think of all the people that need it, you know, if you know what I mean. We can see sort of the people that we don't like, online especially, and, you know, whether it's a politician or a player on the Canucks or just some random influencer that pops up on Instagram, we rush to make judgments about them even if we don't know them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, and we also kind of put them on a weird pedestal, but then want to kind of knock them off it as well. So it's this, it's a very tenuous situation that, I feel for the young people right now because this is so normal for them, and it's not what I grew up with. It's not what the generation below me grew up with. It's really just this new Gen Z, right, that are dealing with this ever since the pandemic. And I love the fact that the playwright wrote this play during the pandemic, or just on that in the second half of the pandemic. And you know, she was in isolation writing this piece. And I find that's such an interesting thing to remember and go back to as we're working on it in the rehearsal hall. Just like, because sometimes there's non sequiturs or there's really fantastical moments in the piece where you go, how did she come up with this? Where is this coming from? You know? And I think it's that kind of go crazy when you're alone for too long and you're just sitting in your bedroom, like looking at other people pretending to live their lives. So yeah, I think the underlying themes will really hit every single person that sits in the chair and goes in the dark with us to watch this piece. I don't think there'll be a person that doesn't relate to it. or doesn't know someone who struggles with mental health.
Right.
You know, and the play is called Harm, you know, so you can kind of, you can take that in a lot of ways. The playwright's not super specific about what all those different things might be, but it's been fun for myself and the actress Kelly Augmanson to really find what are the ways that this woman is doing self-harm, is doing harm in the world, is feeling harmed, you know? Like, it's a great title. It really fits it.
Yeah. Again, you know, we have such a proprietary relationship with people we don't know, and I guess this speaks to, you know, this need for connection. And as you just said, you know, this piece will speak to a lot of people today. Do you see a way out of it, though? I mean, people seeing this play might see themselves and think that some of their behavior might be self-destructive. Do you think enough people will think that?
I do. It will at least spark conversations within friend groups. It may encourage people to reach out to someone that they haven't heard from in a while, that they may just have an inkling is isolating and is lonely. You know, encouraging people to come for a walk, get some fresh air, go to the gym, make that therapy appointment, you know, like whatever it is for self-care. If we're really living it and then encouraging it and reflecting it back to the people in our inner circles, I think that's one way that people could take action, if the piece speaks to them like that. I know for myself, like I'm definitely calling my therapist as soon as we're done. I'm like, I haven't been in a few months. I'm going to go have a little tune up. 'Cause it's important. We work out our body, we think about what we eat, but so many times we just kind of put our mental health on the shelf and go, oh yeah, I'll deal with that later. Oh, that triggers me. That traumatized me when I was a kid. I don't deal with that. I don't talk about that. And those things don't go away. They're in our body. They're in our DNA, you know, and sometimes it's intergenerational too.
Yeah.
And so it really is on each person to acknowledge what is getting in their way of them being a happy and joyful person. Not all the time. Of course, we have days when we're down. But it's really when it gets to be detrimental to your relationships and to your ability to follow through on things. You know, I think we all know a person who is a bailer, right? Like,
yeah.
It says that they're going to be there and doesn't show up and, like, at a certain point, you have to kind of go, I don't know if that person has the coping skills to be a human being in this environment right now. Like the world is a really, really hard place to be sometimes if you're not supported.
And despite that, the play is also funny, I understand. Is that right?
It's so funny. Yeah. That's the very funny thing about the piece. And it's also due to the actress that we have at the helm. She comes from a stand-up comedy background as well as theater school, as well as being a singer. Like she's very well, and has done, you know, tons of film and television. So she's very well-rounded. She can always find the funny. And that's super important when you're dealing with a piece that's this delicate emotionally. I'm cracking up constantly in rehearsal, and you know, the truth is I love to laugh, so
yeah.
You know, you'll love me as your director because I will always laugh and give you love, but she really is making me crack up constantly. So there's those moments. We did a full run of it yesterday, and I found myself wiping tears away, and I didn't even realize I was crying because I'd been laughing so hard before that. So, you know, it's that beautiful transition where you're so immersed and engrossed, you don't even realize how much it's affecting you. And that's my favorite kind of theater.
Yeah, it's a great night out. Did you, because we know you from film and television, did you get your start in the theater, though?
I sure did.
Yeah. How does the work in the theater, because they're very different media altogether. A lot of the skills, I guess, you know, complement one another. Did you find it easy? After working in the theater to make the transition to being in front of a camera, say?
Yes. Like, for me, acting is acting. And when I teach, when I teach, that is something I always start with. I think it's very important to understand the modalities and the two mediums, like how they are different, because of course they are different. But to me, being on stage, that fourth wall where the audience is your acting partner in a lot of a piece on stage. You have your people on stage with you, but your real acting partner is the audience.
Mm.
And it's the same in film. The camera, the people watching later behind the camera, they are your acting partner in many of the intimate, you know, what's going on in your mind, in your eyes, in your subtext moments, the things that really hook us into a character in a movie. So they are very similar. It's just the size and the scope and the, you know, how you have to use your voice. Those things are different. But I was lucky. I got an agent at 16, and I was doing professional theater at 16.
Uh-huh.
And I was also doing guest stars and, you know, day player roles in TV shows and movies by the time I was 16. So I was just kind of jumping seamlessly back and forth. The industry was so rich and full then. It's a little more sparse these days for actors, but I didn't feel a huge difference myself, and so I think that set me up well for teaching that as well, like giving people the confidence that you don't have to choose one or the other. You really don't.
And you've lived in this part of the world the whole time throughout your career, haven't you?
Pretty much. I did live in Los Angeles for 5 years. I lived in Chicago for about a year, and I've lived in Toronto numerous times for different contracts.
What brings you back all the time?
Oh, this is home. Yeah. This is home. We have family here. I'm raising my boys here. The one place I haven't lived yet that still is on my bucket list is New York. So I'm hopful that might happen, even if it's just like a 3 months of the year kind of thing later in life. But
yeah.
Leave that up to the gods.
Yeah, that's the fascinating thing about your business. Home really is where work is, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is. So, yeah, you know, you could, you as an actor, you could get a 5-year television contract next week, and then you're on a plane and you're living in Toronto, or you're living in Montreal, or you're living in Los Angeles. Like, that can happen just boom, out of the blue. So, and then, yeah, that's home. That's home for 6 months of the year for sure.
Yeah. Well, look forward to seeing Harm. I can't wait to see the show and the performance from Kelly Ogmanson. I so appreciate your time today. Thanks for this, and break a leg, as I say.
Thank you. I hope I meet you. I will intend to be at many of the shows, so please introduce yourself if we're there at the same time.
The website for tickets and information is at mitchandmurrayproductions.com. Harm by Phoebe Eclair Powell will be at Studio 16. Between this Friday, the 20th of March, through to the 29th, the production's director, Jennifer Copping, joined me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plunton.